Good morning, good morning. This is the old Trailblazer broadcast coming to you once again from the Metropolitan Tabernacle, 501 Opelousas Avenue. Yes, we're right here in downtown New Orleans across the river on the west bank of the river, and we are very accessible to the New Mississippi River Bridge at Algiers Ferry. You folks here in the city, we'd like to invite you to our regular Sunday morning worship services, 10 o'clock, the Bible School of the Air, and then the worship service at 11 o'clock. I'll be with you here, Lord's willing, Sunday morning, bring you a message, pouring out my heart, crying, repent, sinner, and be saved. And we're always happy to have you. Our congregation here will make you welcome. I guarantee you, you'll be made welcome, you'll be made comfortable, and you'll be made glad that you came. Would you do that? Also, if you're not able to come, you can hear us over WLNO every Sunday morning from 10 o'clock till 11 and 11 to 12. And also, you can hear us there on your internet station. It's www.wlno.com. You hear us live there every Sunday morning from 10 till 11 and 11 to 12. And there's many other broadcasts that also are streaming over WLNO. If you write me, I'll send you a listing of all of those stations. My mailing address is Radio Missions or just the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. I'd just like to say I'm happy to be back with you this morning. I've been kind of having a little sickness lately, but I'm back. I believe I'm back full steam. Somebody told me the Lord done raised me up because I've been preaching hell off the cross here at the Metropolitan Tabernacle. But we're bringing you a series of studies on the Trailblazer on blood redemption. And we're looking at this subject today and have been Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Did you know the Lord has provided a substitute for your sins? Sinner, are you aware that the Lord provided a substitute for you? When Christ went to the cross, suffered and bled and died, the Lord provided. That's what the word Jehovah Jireh means. The Lord will provide. And I tell you this morning, if you are a waking sinner, if you are a lost sinner, the Lord will provide a Savior. Someone has said, if you furnish the sinner, the Lord will furnish the Savior. And that's true. If you come to the Lord as a sinner, as a lost sinner, you say, well, I don't know if I'm lost or not. Well, ask the Lord to show you. Ask the Lord. Did you know it's not one thing that you can't talk to the Lord about? Oh, if you just knew the seemingly the small things that I bring before the Lord. That's right. That's right. You get a headache. Lord, relieve this headache. And I'm not talking about faith healing, none of those things. But the Lord, I'm His child. I come to Him just like I did to my dad back there years and years ago when I was a child. I'd get a splinter under my fingernail and I'd go crying to Him, Dad, get this splinter out from under my toenail or my fingernail. Or if I had a sore throat, I'd go to Him and say, Dad, my throat's so sore I can't hardly talk. And He would doctor me and take me to the doctor. And the Lord, how much greater is our Lord than our earthly father or mother. But you can go to Him. You can go to Him with the most trivial things that you might call trivial. Look, He said, the Bible said, that the sparrow falls to the ground. He takes notice of it. And He's the smallest animal, I guess you could call it, bird. And He says, the hairs of my head, a lot of my hairs have fallen out, but the Lord knows exactly about it when they do. He does. And if yours is falling out like mine, turning gray and turning loose, they say. But the Lord knows all about those things. Oh, yes. The Lord is Jehovah Jireh. Listen now. We're looking at Abraham as he brought Isaac there to the altar on the Mount Moriah with everything in order. Then it was Abraham that stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. We had seen Isaac there bound on the altar, wood on the altar, and there was Isaac. Laying there, submissive to his father. I want you to get this picture. I want to try to describe that scene to you. I know I'm not very good at these things. But there stood old Abraham, getting up in years now. I guess he was about 115 years old. Isaac was a young lad. And he stood there by the altar. The fire rested over there in a pan. They had brought fire from home back there. They didn't have matches and those things like we do now, lighters, no. But the fire was over there in a pan at the foot of the altar, ready to kindle the wood for an offering. This is no sham, my friend. The Lord had given Abraham grace to trust his son because he knew that if he slew him, the Lord would raise him back up or raise up another son. Listen now. And there lay Isaac, there lay our father Isaac. Yes, we're in the lineage of Isaac. And listen, Abraham stretched forth his hand and raised up the hand to slay the offering. You ask, how could Abraham carry out this order? How could he be true to Isaac and yet faithful to Jehovah? Let me call your attention to this great fact. That is just as true today when God's minister stands in the pulpit before the microphone behind his holy desk and wields the knife of judgment to the hearts of sinners. The only way in the world, my friend, that I or any other pastor or minister can be true to your soul is to stand here before you with the word of justice, the sword of God's eternal truth, and slay you sinners. That's right. That's right. It's a beautiful picture. That's what we have to do. And what have we done today? We've lost that truth. We've lost that gracious truth. Where pastors take the word of God as a sword and slay. No, now we have this little nimby-pamby, white handkerchief, soft silk handkerchief ministry where the pastor wants to be so accepted in his community, and he would not dare say anything about sin. He would not dare call your attention to somebody shacking up in his audience, not dare call your attention. I know pastors in the reach of this broadcast here in New Orleans who are shacking up with a member of their organization, their choir, their congregation, and nobody says anything about it, my friend. But listen, Abraham took this knife in his hand and raised the hand over behind his back to take the life of his dear son. And that's what we have to do here. I know it's not popular. Folks tell me, Trailblazer, I don't want your bloody religion. I don't want your hellfire and damnation religion. But let me tell you something, folks. God's word is true. Every word of it is true. I must preach the whole counsel of God. Did you know one day, if you never repent, if you never turn to the Lord, if you never die to sin and become raised from death unto life through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, if that never takes place in your life, that one day you will plunge into hell where there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and I must be true to your soul. The Lord has commissioned me and ordained me and led through his providence to go on this station that you're hearing me over today. You may be there in the boondocks of somewhere, some little city up there in northern Alabama or Georgia, South Carolina, or Tennessee, Chattanooga, Tennessee. Maybe up there somewhere in Omaha, Nebraska, wherever you hear this broadcast. And here locally, the Lord has given me the commission to go forth, to preach the gospel, to be never compromise. I can't compromise with God's word. If I compromise with you, you go to hell. That's right. But here we see Isaac. Here you see Isaac brought to the altar there. And listen, it's no easy task. It's no easy task. I don't mean it to be easy. It's not easy. The true pastor's life. I see why many folks cave in to Satan's work. Because they don't want to be true. They fear. They fear man. They fear Satan. They fear their congregation. They fear their choir leader, their piano player, or their youth director, or somebody in their organization. They fear to step on his toes because maybe there's a sin in his family, a sin in his life, or sin in their congregation. And they just back up. And they back up and smooth over everything. And as the old prophet said, they preach the smooth things. But I'm not blessed with the smooth things, or cursed, I guess you could say, with the smooth things. No, because I must preach the gospel. Do you think John the Baptist preached smooth things? What did he say? He told that bunch of preachers and deacons and devils there one day. He said, "Oh, you generation of snakes, who has warned you to flee from the wrath of God?" And I must be true to your soul. If you're listening to me today, preacher, and you're not taking your bull by the horns and preaching the whole gospel, you ought to get out of your pulpit and go to digging taters for a living. That's right. You ought to quit the ministry. If you're not saved, if you're not called to the Lord, you better get out now while the getting out's good and turn to the Lord and begin to seek the Lord and let the Lord save you. Oh, listen, my friend. This is not a plaything with me. You don't just step behind a pulpit and go to spouting off something and go up and down the street with a bullhorn and knocking abortion and knocking this and knocking that. That's not what the Lord called his preachers to do. He called us called us to preach the gospel. And this is the gospel I'm bringing to you, that every sinner must come to their place of death before he'll ever get saved. The world, including the religious world, says, Pastor, Trailblazer, you're too hard. You're cruel. You're unjust. Yes, that's right. But let the world call me what it pleases. I stand at the altar cross this morning with the sword of God's eternal truth and by the power of the Holy Spirit to slay every sinner who's listening to me if it pleases God to do it. And that's my prayer. It is only when the knife is stretched forth in the hand of God's servant to slay the sinner that God calls out from heaven and says, spare him, for a ransom has been found, according to Job 33. It was only when in the mind and heart of Abraham he had slain Isaac his son that the angel of Jehovah, that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, called out and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering instead of his son. Now, my friend, that's one of the greatest stories, the greatest illustrations of how God saves a sinner. And I call unto you today, have you died to sin? Have you been slain by the gospel truth that you are a sinner and that you need a substitute? And let me tell you today, in all the kindness and pathos of my soul, you folks who hear me day after day, you folks here in Algiers and New Orleans, my congregation here, my tape audience, many of you get these tapes. Let me tell you something, folks. There's a sacrifice been made. There is. Some of my folks write me from all over this country, and they say, Pastor, I just can't believe that Christ died for me. Well, I tell you, you must believe it or go to hell. I tell you, the reason you're not saved is that your will has never been broken. Have you ever been submissive like Isaac was there on the altar, laid down upon the wood and the fire kindled right there by his hand, ready to burn the offering? Listen, folks. There's a dying in coming to Christ. The flesh must die. The old I must die. All of those things have to go. And then look, but we're living in a modern world now where no one is offended. No one takes the blame. No one repents. No one says, well, I'm sorry. No one goes to the Lord and says, oh, Lord, I just wonder what folks do. What do folks preach? How do they tell folks to be saved? Listen, by coming down to the front, making a little mental decision. Go out, smoke like the world, live like the world. No repentance, no forgiveness of sin, no dying to the flesh, no dying to the world. And then they go out and spout off, oh, I'm a Christian. I hear these movie stars and all of these famous people saying, well, I converted to this and I converted to that. Well, listen, folks. Listen, salvation is of the Lord. It's a dying. Old Jonah had to die. He spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale. You say, that's a fairy tale. No, my friend. One day, if you never repent, you will find out that God's word is true. There's not one error in it. There's not one mistake in it. There needs no correction. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the pen, the finger of God, wrote the Bible, inspired those writers, those old men of God, to write it. There was no mistake there. And there is no mistake in the gospel. Listen, folks, man must die. Down, sinner, down. I tell you this morning, sinner, down at the feet of Christ in submission unto the Lord. Come begging the Lord. Oh, yes, we become beggars. This is the old Trailblazer, Pastor Albert Pendarvis. My heart is so heavy for you this morning. I wish that I could die for many of you, like the Apostle Paul, that I could be a curse for my brethren's sake. Remember, my mailing address is the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Help me with the broadcast, if you will. Goodbye, and God bless you.